Okay, good morning, friends. Shalom aleichem, bruchem abaim to the Kollel Agudah Pirka, Monday afternoon, National Shir. We have a very important shir today. I'm preparing for the Yom Tov of Pesach. I'm very excited to let you know that this coming Wednesday is the shir of the century. We're going to, or at least the shir of Wednesday, we're going to be discussing the upcoming solar eclipse. And the meaning of it, and the symbolism of it. So that will be Wednesday evening at 8:30. So be there. You don't want the shir to eclipse you. Get it? Okay. So, we have some very exciting svarim in the queue. Be'ezras Hashem, the Sefer on Lag BaOmer is, I would say, 50% submitted. 65% edited, and hopefully we'll be able to finish up even before Pesach, so that could come out right after Yom Tov. Okay, so if anybody would like to be mishtatif in that or in the upcoming Sefer on Chinuch Habanim, the opportunity is all yours. So today we're going to speak about matzah. We're approaching Chodesh Nisan. This Shabbos is Parshas HaChodesh. Very exciting. And aside from the fact that we are commanded to eat a kezayis of matzah the night of the Seder, we are also commanded to guard the matzah. We have a mitzvah of guarding the matzah. By the way, the name of this shir is The Greatest Danger, and it appears in our humble Sefer Magid Rokeh on Pesach, which you could get in local stores, or Ephraim is showing you his personal copy. This is Maimer Tess in the Sefer. The Torah commands us to guard. Reb Tzvi also has it. Very good. The Torah commands us to guard the matzah. And what is it exactly does it mean to guard the matzah? Rashi explains to guard it, that it doesn't become chametz. From here we learn that if the... Oh, very good. Reb Tzvi is conducting a free commercial for the English Haggadah. Thank you very much. I'll get you your regular royalty afterwards. Rashi tells us that the mitzvah of guarding the matzah is we have to make sure it doesn't become chametz. So if it starts to swell, you rinse it off with cold water. So we have to be careful. The mitzvah of shmiras hamatzah is to guard that it doesn't become chametz. But it's interesting. If the mitzvah of guarding the matzah, of shmura matzah, is to make sure that it's not chametz, then why fundamentally are we only required to have shmura matzah the night of the Seder? That's the halacha on the Shulchan Aruch Siman Tafnun Gimel. And the Mesha, this is the question of the Mesha Chachma. That if there's a mitzvah of Ushmartem es Hamatzos, then we should have to fulfill it the whole Pesach. Because if you're guarding the matzah that it doesn't become chametz, well, we're now to have chametz for the entirety of Pesach. So why then is the mitzvah of Shmura Matzah only reserved for the night of the Seder? Another interesting thing. Rashi tells us from the Mechilta, Ushmartem es Hamatzos. Al tikri matzos elo mitzvos. Kiderach she'ein machmitzin es hamatzah. Kach ein machmitzin es hamitzvah. Mitzvah haba liyodcha al tachmitzenu. That just like you're not supposed to let the matzah become chametz, we should not allow the mitzvos to become chametz. The question though is, what exactly is this drasha of Rabbi Yoshia? What is the comparison between allowing matzah to become chametz and allowing a mitzvah to become chametz? If a matzah becomes chametz, it's not matzah anymore, but rather it's chametz. But if we allow a mitzvah to become chametz, even if we delay it, but nevertheless, it will be fulfilled. In other words, how could you compare not allowing matzah to become chametz and not letting a mitzvah become chametz? Matzah will become chametz. And that's a big problem. It's no longer matzah. But a mitzvah, so what? If you delay it, at the end of the day, we'll still do it. Is that really a legitimate comparison? Now, the Torah says, you know why you have to guard the matzah? Ki be'etzem hayoyim hazeh, hoitzeisi es tzivoyseichem me'eretz Mitzrayim. Ushmartem es hayoyim hazeh l'doyroyseichem chukas olam. This implies that the fact that God took us out of Mitzrayim on that very day, that's the reason why we have to guard the mitzvahs. The question is, what's the comparison between the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim on that very day and the chiyuv to guard the matzos? Okay. There's a halacha in Kol HaTorah Kula that we rely on certain halachic principles, namely roiv and chazaka. For example, we follow a roiv. If how do we know that somebody's father is their father? The Gemara says we follow a roiv. We follow chazaka. And yet, interestingly, when it comes to the performance of mitzvahs, we do not necessarily rely on chazaka. The Mishkanos Yaakov in Yoredei HaSimen Yud Zayin, the Mishkanos Yaakov says that we know there's a mitzvah to check mezuzos. Let's say we check it twice every 7 years. And if it's a public mezuzah, twice every 50 years, because we don't want to be Matriarch the Rabbim. And the Mechilta seems to say that one is required to check their tefillin annually. The Mechilta darshens it from the pasuk, Miyamim Yamima. Yamim Yamima, that it has to be checked from year to year. Now, most Soferim will tell you today that you do not have to check tefillin annually. In fact, many Soferim will tell you you do not have to check tefillin, period. For the simple reason that opening up tefillin is one of the most distressing things you could do to the tefillin. Because by opening up the parshiyos, which are sometimes folded very tightly, it could cause the letters to crack. On the other hand, because the safros can be questionable if it's not done through the proper expert and God-fearing sofer, one should check his tefillin to make sure they're kosher. But once that's been determined, then speak to your expert sofer what the requirements are. I will tell you, you have to be very careful not to let your tefillin get wet, or that it should not be in a hot car. You should never leave your tefillin in a car. But nowadays, if your tefillin are cared for properly, they would not require regular checking, although you should check your ritzuos. I've seen many God-fearing people, they're still wearing the ritzuos that they got from their bar mitzvah, or and very often the ritzuos they pull by the knot. I know people get very nostalgic about tefillin. I humbly recommend do not be nostalgic about tefillin. Better to have kosher new tefillin than non-kosher tefillin that your Elta the Rebbe wore when he crossed the Yam Suf. So even though I know you're very attached to the hustled tefillin your great grandfather wore when he received the mun, a double portion on Fridays, nevertheless, it's better to have kosher tefillin than holy pasul tefillin. Other examples, especially in the place of the knot, sometimes the tefillin gets too narrow, or sometimes the paint begins to chip away. So you want to make sure your ritzuos are in working order. And for $150, it's worthwhile to have brand new ritzuos, and this way you don't have to worry about them. But in terms of the parshiyos, once the parshiyos were checked, then likely they don't have to continuously be checked. That's how we hold. However, there is a mechilta that seems to say that not only do mezuzos require regular checking, tefillin also requires regular checking. And the question that the Mishkanos Yaakov deals with is, why would you have to continually check your tefillin and mezuzos, but why don't we rely on chazaka? Chazaka says they were good originally, so they're presumed to remain to be kosher until you know otherwise. Why do you need to check? Why are we not soymech on Chazaka? And even if perhaps you would consider this a kilkel matzoi, likely that something ruined it. Nevertheless, even in such a scenario, we would typically rely on Chazaka. Why, according to Mechilta, do we not rely on Chazaka for tefillin and mezuzos? Now we come to a very interesting question. Many people, they get very nervous if chas v'shalom, you go into a cemetery and your tzitzis are sticking out. That's a big no-no. You shouldn't do it because the Gemara says it's lo yeg l'rash. You're mocking the poor because the people in their grave, they can't put on tzitzis. You know the famous story of the Vilna Gaon that on his deathbed, he said, for a few dollars here in this world, you could be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis, and then in the next world, you can't be mekayim it anymore. And by the way, for this reason, the Gemara says that on the begadim of mesim, you put on tzitzis, because to put on a four-cornered beged without tzitzis, it's lo yig l'rash. You're mocking them that they don't have tzitzis. The question, though, is the Gemara Nida says that what do you do with a garment of klayim, of shatnez? Don't sell it to a guy. Don't use it as a saddle for a donkey because you might sit on it, but you could use it as a burial shroud, even to bury a mess in klayim. Why? Rabbi Yochanan goes according to his reason. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Bameisim chavshi," that once a person dies, he no longer it has an obligation to do mitzvahs. He doesn't have to go to yeshiva dinners. He doesn't have to go to his second cousin's parlor meetings, and he doesn't have to do mitzvahs. Bameisim chavshi. So Tosfos points out that there's a stira, there's a contradiction over here. On the one hand, we know that you're supposed to put tzitzis on a mess, otherwise you're mocking the mess that he can't be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis. Or as we know, you should not wear tzitzis, have your tzitzis sticking out in the cemetery, or you don't learn Torah in a cemetery because you're mocking the mason. Hey, I could do mitzvahs, you can't. Well, in that case, then why are you allowed to put shatnez on a mess? Isn't that mocking the mess? Hi, I have to put that shatnez label on my suit, and you're allowed to wear shatnez. Why is it when it comes to a lav, there's no problem of lo yeg l'meis? There's no problem that you're mocking the mess by. There's no problem that you're mocking the mess by wearing shatnez, putting shatnez on the mess, and there is a problem of lo yeg l'rash that you're required to put tzitzis on him. What's the difference between an asay and a lois asay? Why does it seem that when it comes to the performance of an asay, you have to be sensitive to mocking the mess, and when it comes to the perform to violating a lois asay, you do not have to be sensitive? Okay. Another interesting diak. There's a famous line in the Masil Sisharim. Masil Sisharim talks about the importance of zrizos. He talks about zrizos before you perform an act and afterwards. The Masil Sisharim says before you perform an act, you don't want to let a mitzvah grow stale. When the zman comes, when the opportunity comes, when the thought comes, you should hasten to perform the mitzvah and grab it, and don't allow any time to elapse. Why? Ki ein sakana kisakanase. Masil Sisharim's immortal words. There is no greater danger in this world than when you have the opportunity to perform a mitzvah and you don't capitalize on it. Why? Because every moment that arises, a new impediment could arise. And the question on the Masil Sisharim is, he's saying the greatest danger in the world is when a person has the opportunity to perform a mitzvah if he delays it. Why, friends, is that the greatest danger in the world? I could think of a similar grave danger. when the Yetzer Hara presents a person with the challenge of doing an Avera. We're here, the Yetzer Hara says, do this, eat this, say that, think that. Isn't that a big danger? Well, what if you do the Avera? The same way, when you have the opportunity to do the mitzvah, it's a very grave danger because you might not get around to doing the mitzvah. Isn't it an equally grave danger when you have the opportunity to do an Avera that you might succumb and do the Avera? Why does the Mesillas Yesharim only consider the great danger when you have the opportunity to perform a mitzvah? We recently read Parshas Vayikra. Parshas Vayikra talks about someone who violated a sin and he's chayav a karban chatas. It talks about different categories of sinners. It talks about a kohen, it talks about the community, and it talks about the king, the nasi. When it talks about the kohen, it says im hakohen, if the kohen. When it talks about the community, it says im kol hadas. When it talks about the king, it says asher nasi yachta, that the king will sin. Rashi darshins, asher is a lashon of ashrei, fortunate is the nation whose leader admits to his sin. But that's the Medrash. But the pshat in the pasuk is mashma, that somehow it's inevitable that the king will sin. Asher nasi yachta, that the king will sin. Now here's an astonishing Gemara. The Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Yud Zayin, the Gemara says, four people never sinned. Four people never sinned. Who are they? Binyamin, the son of Yaakov. Amram, the father of Moshe. Yishai, the father of David. Kilav, the son of David. That which we know they never sinned, it's a tradition, except for Yishai, the father of David, the pasuk says so. And I personally heard Rav Miller say, wait a second. These are the four people who never sinned? Binyamin, the son of Yaakov? Friends, who's greater, Binyamin or Yaakov? I would have thought Yaakov. But Yaakov apparently did sin, and Binyamin didn't sin. Who's greater, Amram or Moshe? Moshe was the greatest man who ever lived. But how is it his father never sinned, and he did? Who's greater, Yishai or David? Presumably David. David's on the Merkava, David authored Tehillim. Who's greater, David or his son Kilav? David, but Kilav never sinned and David did. That's an apparent, you would think that's why Binyamin is identified as Binyamin ben Yaakov because Yaakov was greater. That's why Yishai is identified Yishai Avi David or Kilav ben David. So, how do we understand that the father or the son never sinned, but the son or the father was greater? How do we understand David's father and son never sinned, but David was greater than both of them? Comes the Meshech Chachma, and the Meshech Chachma tells us a stirring principle, a life-altering principle, a principle we cannot forget for our entire lives. Says the Meshech Chachma, there's a very big difference between mocking a dead person that he's cannot be mekayim in the midst of tzitzis, so we put tzitzis on him and we don't wear tzitzis in a cemetery. And on the other hand, we are allowed to put shatnez on him and that's not considered a mockery. And this also explains why we're chayiv to check tzitzis. I'm sorry, check tefillin. And this will explain why we have to guard the matzais. And Meshech Chachma says the following principle. Hey, Mr. Dead Guy! Ha ha ha! You're wearing shatnez! So Mr. Dead Guy says back, I'm wearing shatnez? I'm not commanded not to wear shatnez. Yeah, but you're still wearing shatnez! Okay. I have a hard time taking it off right now. By the way, scientists have discovered that dead people have a very hard time removing shatnez from them. It's very hard to take shatnez off once you're dead. Not easy. It's very challenging. One of the challenging things about being dead that you can't take off shatness. So it's not mocking him. You say, "Hi, you're wearing shatness." He says, "I'm an oinus, oinus rachmana patre." First of all, lamisim chafshi, I'm exempt. I'm allowed to wear shatness. And even if it's not, I'm an oinus, oinus rachmana patre. But if we were going to wear tzitzis in a cemetery, we're learned Torah in a cemetery, and we say, "Hey, Mr. Dead Man, I'm learning and you're not." So what's he going to say back? Yeah, I don't have to learn, or I'm exempt. It's true he doesn't have to learn. It's true he's exempt, but still he's losing out eternally from the great opportunity of achieving and accomplishing and elevating himself through Talmud Torah. And that is embarrassing to him. It's mocking him. It's true, you're excused. Yeah, you have a good excuse. We don't have any highness on you. You're not lacking. You are lacking, though. It is embarrassing because you do not have the great opportunity of being mashlim, your nefesh. You don't have the great opportunity to achieve, and therefore it is mocking you. Doing an Aveiro when you're excused is understandable, but not having the opportunity to be a mitzvah, to do a mitzvah, it's true you're excused, but you're still not doing the mitzvah. And that's the reason why there's an obligation to check your mezuzos and your tefillin periodically. Mezuzos twice every 7 years, according to the Mechilta, maybe annually. Again, we mentioned that practically we don't check the tefillin annually. You know why you're required to check mitzvahs? Because let's say we tell the guy, "Hey, mister, you should really check your tefillin." So the guy will say, "Well, I don't have to. I'm allowed to make a bracha." We say, "Well, but if your tefillin are pasul, you made a bracha levatala." He'll say, "No, it's not a bracha levatala. Oinus rachmana patre, I relied on chazaka." If we say, "Pal, if you didn't wear tefillin, you're going to get punished." He said, "I'm not going to get punished. I'm an oinus. I'm allowed to rely on chazaka." But then we say, "Pal, if your tefillin are not kosher, you're losing out eternally from the great achievement and accomplishment and elevation of wearing tefillin. And even though you're excused, excuses will excuse you from punishment, but it will not make it like you wore tefillin. At the end of the day, you lost, you didn't put on tefillin. You didn't have a mezuzah. An excuse is only going to carry you so far. It will only justify that you didn't do a wrongdoing, but it won't make it that you accomplished the mitzvah of tefillin and the mitzvah of mezuzah." Therefore, says the Meshech Chachma, the rest of Pesach, you don't have to have Shmura Matzah. What do you mean? But isn't Shmura Matzah, you're guarding it that it's not Chametz? Meshech Chachma says, yeah, Shmura Matzah is you're guarding it that it's not Chametz. Yeah, but don't then you have to have Shmura Matzah the whole Pesach? No. Yeah, but maybe it will be Chametz. What do you mean? I hopefully it won't be Chametz. Hopefully it won't. And guess what? And if it is, I'm an oinus. I'm an oinus. I baked it properly, so it wasn't guarded with, b'sheva bedikos. So what? And if it's chametz, it's not my fault. I tried my best. It's not the end of the world if I tried not to have chametz, and it was because Hashem will understand because it's an extenuating circumstance. Oynis rachmana patre, aber danach von Pesach. It's true if it's chametz. Maybe I'll be an oinus and I won't be punished, but it's not matzah, and I'll lose out on the mitzvah of matzah. And every justification and rationalization and excuse in the world may be able to get me out of punishment, but it won't make it that I ate matzah the rest of Pesach, where I only have to be careful not to have chametz. So I try my best, but I'm not required to go so far to have shmurah. But the night of the Seder, it's not enough not to eat chametz. You have to positively eat matzah. And if my matzah is chametz, then I lost out eternally the great achievement of eating matzah. By the way, the Maharal says a very similar idea. There's a question on the Avais. The Avais, were they Mekayim the Torah before it was given? Sure. The Avais were Mekayim the Torah before it was given. So the question is, how did Yaakov marry two sisters, Rachel and Leah? And the Maharal famously says, you're making a mistake. The Avos only fulfilled positive mitzvahs. They were not careful not to violate lavim. So ask the Maral and the Gorariye, Parshas Vayigash, what's the difference? Why would the Avos only be careful to fulfill positive commandments and not be concerned not to violate lavim? And the Maral says as follows. He says, before the Torah was given, so what Yaakov married two sisters? There's nothing wrong. God never told him he's not allowed to. So God never told him he's not allowed to. So why shouldn't he? Why shouldn't he marry two sisters? They were both very worthy candidates to marry. Both Rachel and Leah were good shidduchim. I later on Hashem would command not to do it. Okay, later on, but they're before. But a positive command is a kinyan in one's nefesh, is an achievement, is an accomplishment. So even though Hashem didn't command yet, the Avos were scared to lose out on that achievement. You see, there's a difference between a lav and an aseh. A lav is a wrongdoing, provided that God said not to do it. If he didn't say not to do it, then it's not a wrongdoing. But a mitzvah aseh is a positive accomplishment. It's a kinyan in one's neshama. It's mashlim a chelek of one's neshama. So even though they weren't obligated to fulfill those deeds, nevertheless, they didn't want to miss out on that achievement. And now we're coming to the great bombshell. Friends, you have two people. One of them commits adultery, or one of them serves idols, or one of them is a roitzeach. That's one guy. He does terrible averos. And the other guy, and I guess you have to understand what I'm saying in context, the other guy would never violate any of the cardinal sins. What does the other guy do? He spends his day twiddling his thumbs. He wastes time, but he doesn't commit any sin. He just wastes time. For example, he sits on his phone and he scrolls the whole day. He goes like that. What's he looking at? Nothing. Nothing changed since 10 minutes ago. What is considered a more fundamental lacking? A sin or a lack of positive achievement? And the answer is, Rabbeinu Yonah says, there is a grave error that people make. Yesh anoshim rabim b'hamoin ha'am choshvim, ki ein ikar ho'avadoin v'hefsid ha'nefesh zulasi ba'averois sheyesh bahen masa. Many people think that the destruction of the soul is only in sin that's with action. And the nefesh, v'chi ein avadoin nefesh el ha'ish asher hu tahar mechateh b'masa. And there is no destruction of soul to someone who is pure from actively sinning, and he doesn't go on the derech haveris lo'halach, but he doesn't fulfill positive commandments. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a big mistake. Al kein anu chayavim lo'hidiyat toyei ruach bina. We are obligated to make it known to those whose notions, his opinion, those whose opinions are have strayed from what is correct, that Chazal teach us, Viter HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Avodah Zarah v'Gilui HaRayos u'Shfichas Damim, God would sooner overlook idolatry, adultery, and murder, v'loi Viter al Avoin B'tol Torah, and he would not overlook not learning. And just like the reward for learning Torah is greater than all mitzvahs, the punishment for not learning is greater than any sin. Now, this means that the sin, one of the three cardinal sins, is not as great as someone who is able to learn Torah and he wastes his time. Wasting time is worse than any sin. My question is, what? Since when? Why would that be? So I remember I once heard Rav Miller explain this so powerfully. And he gave the following analogy. He told the story about a guy who went to Los Angeles. And he comes back. He say, "Hey, how is LA?" He says, "Great." "Really? Tell me about it." "You wouldn't believe what I didn't get any parking tickets. And I didn't get any expired meter tickets. And I didn't get any speeding tickets. And my inspection was up to date, so I didn't get any inspection tickets. It was an unbelievable trip." "Yeah, but pal, what'd you see there? What'd you do there?" "Do? I didn't do anything there." "Yeah, but I didn't get any tickets." Say, "Pal, but we're, what'd you accomplish?" "Nothing." You have another guy. What do you do in Los Angeles?" "LA? I went to Disneyland or World. I don't remember which one is which. And I went to San Diego, I went to SeaWorld. And boy, did I see the sights." "Really? How'd you accomplish so much?" "Well, I really packed it in. It's a shame. I was going a little bit over the speed limit. I did get a speeding ticket, and I had an expired meter." Which guy had a better trip in Los Angeles? So Rav Miller, again, this is an oversimplified mashal, but it's bringing out a point. And that is, if a person comes down to this world and we say, "Pal, what do you do here in this world?" "What did I do? I didn't wear shatnez." "Okay, what else?" "I didn't eat treif." "Okay, what else did you do?" "I didn't eat chametz." "Yeah, okay, did you do anything positive?" "No." "So, pal, you blew it. God put you down in this world to do big things. For example, Limud HaTorah, performing mitzvahs, tzitzis, tefillin, tefillah, to acquire Yirat Shamayim, Avas Hashem, Bitachon, Hisboninus B'chasdei Hashem, Kedusha, Tahara, merely refraining from sin." Now, I don't want to oversimplify this because not sinning is also, in a way, a positive achievement, but still, relative to Aseh, it's not as significant of an achievement, perhaps, as the fulfillment of an Aseh. And this explains why God is willing to, okay, this explains why Hashem is willing to overlook Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Damim, but not Bittul Torah. Rav Miller explained like this: God's not overlooking anything. But imagine if somebody committed a grave sin. Okay, it's not the end of the world. What? It's not the end of the world? Yeah, it's not the end of the world. He could do tshuva. So he'll learn Shari Tshuva. He'll regret what he did. He'll stop doing it. He'll do Kabbalah al Asid. And he'll do all the 20 ingredients of tshuva. And he'll cry and he'll wail and he'll fast. And he'll get kapara. And you know what? If he didn't do a sufficient tshuva, it's not the end of the world. He could still go to Gehenna. And God will turn up the self-cleaning oven. And ultimately, he'll have kapara. But if someone had the opportunity to do a mitzvah and he didn't do the mitzvah, it's me'uvas eino yachal l'skayin. There's no way ever to make up for that mitzvah. There's no way ever to get that mitzvah back. And therefore, God could overlook for sin, provided that you do your part. But if a person had the opportunity to learn Torah, to do a mitzvah, to do a chesed, and out of laziness or carelessness, they lost the opportunity, then there's no way to bring it back. Friends, now we understand. Of course, David HaMelech was greater than Yishai. What do you mean? But Yishai never sinned. Okay? That's great. That's an extremely high level that he never sinned. But he also didn't accomplish like David accomplished. David wrote Sefer Tehillim. David built Yerushalayim. David put together the money for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The positive achievements of David elevated David more than his father Yishai, who never sinned, more than his son Kilav. Yaakov Avinu sinned, but he was greater than Binyamin. Because the purpose of life is not to sin. The purpose of life is to actively achieve. Rav Miller would say, this is taught in the very beginning of Bereishis. Rav Miller would interpret, Asher bara Elohim la'asais. God created man to do. To do. Man was created to accomplish. To do. I remember this is on one of Rav Miller's tapes. He had 1,000 shiurim. And then after 1,000, he had the E series, E1, E2, E3. In the E series, one of the shiurim was called Created to Do. Man was Asher bara Elohim la'asais. Man was created to do. Rav Miller explained, this is the lashon of the Maseilas Yesharim. Ein sakana kisakanasai. We asked, why is the biggest danger in the world when somebody has the opportunity to perform a mitzvah? Isn't it also an equally great danger when someone is presented with the chance to do an avera? And Rav Miller would say, well, that's not the biggest danger in the world. Because hopefully he won't do the avera. And even if he does, he could do tshuva. And even if he doesn't do tshuva, he could go to Gehenim. And I'm not downplaying Gehenim. But at least there's a way to rectify. But if someone has the opportunity to do mitzvah, if the Zman Kriya Shema comes, you better say that Shema right away. Because if you forget to say the Shema, then there's no way ever to make up that Shema. You could feel bad about it. And maybe you could do tshuva, and if you do tshuva, you won't be punished, the Gemara in Yuma says. But there's still never a way to bring back the positive accomplishment of the recitation of the Shema. And therefore, when you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah, ein sakana kisakanasai. The purpose of life is positive achievement. Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than his father Amram, even though Amram never sinned, because Moshe took us out of Mitzrayim and he gave us the man and he gave us the Torah. And you know what Rav Miller would say? Sometimes when a person is involved in positive achievement, they are more likely to sin. In a way, it's almost inevitable. Than someone who's just so careful never to sin, but is not actively involved in accomplishing. He would give a simplified mashal. You have three people sitting at a kiddush, and Reuven says to Shimon and to Levi, pass the cholent. So Levi is afraid to pass the cholent. He might spill some cholent on Reuven. He might spill the grape juice. Shimon jumps. He wants to do the chesed. But sometimes Shimon might mishandle that cholent and the cholent is going to end up on the guy's lap. But it's almost inevitable if you're a cholent passer. Occasionally, you also might be a cholent spiller. Likewise, somebody could hide in a closet and never speak Lashon Hara. And certainly that's very great. But Hashem would rather somebody be involved in positive achievement, even though under the circumstances, it might be Asher Nasi Yachata, Rav Miller would say. It's almost inevitable. But the purpose of life is not getting parking tickets. The purpose of life is accomplishing and achieving mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. Rabbi Akiva Eger, in his Igaros, in his letters, in Igaros Yud Beis, wrote a frighteningly powerful letter regarding the night of the Seder. Rabbi Kivega wrote, the night of Pesach, you should accord yourself with Kedusha, with Yira, and rejoice in doing the mitzvahs that Hashem was mezakeh you in. The mitzvah of Kiddush, the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, Achilas Marar, Dalet Koisos, Hallel. Says Rabbi Kivager, you better make sure to eat enough matzah. Don't eat exactly the shear because you might be lacking. What if you eat exactly the shear and you ate an iota, a crumb less than the shear? You lost the mitzvah. Says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, Uladati, in my opinion, Mi Sheyesh Loi Moach BeKadkada, if someone has a brain in their skull, Umamin BeMitzvos Hashem, and believes in the mitzvahs the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, Eich LaYachus Al Nafshoi, how could you not take pity on your soul and not be scared that this great mitzvah of matzah, that you only have an opportunity to Mekayim once a year, you better make sure to do it properly. Because says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, you're going to have to wait a whole year to get that mitzvah again. And who knows if you'll be around to be Mekayim that mitzvah again. You see the great Yira Shamayim of Rabbi Kiva Eiger, but usually we talk about Yira Shamayim being afraid of doing an Avera, but in the world of Rabbi Kiva Eiger, look at his Yira Shamayim being afraid not to be Mekayim a mitzvah. A person has to have more Yira about a mitzvah than about not doing an Avera. Because an Avera, so if you did the Avera, okay, you'll do tshuva, you'll fast. Maybe you'll have to fast for 84 days, but there's a way to rectify it. But if you didn't do the mitzvah matzah, if you didn't lean when you were eating the matzah, if you didn't eat enough matzah, it's going to be a whole nother year till you could do the mitzvah again. Says the Kesav Sofer. This is the Hemshech HaPasuk. Guard the matzah. Meaning, guard the mitzvahs. Don't delay doing a mitzvah. Don't delay even a moment doing the mitzvah. You know why? Because if you delay doing a mitzvah, maybe the mitzvah will become chametz. So we said, well, I'll ultimately get around to it. The Ksav Sofer says, remember when God took you out of Mitzrayim? He took you out on that very day. What if God would have said, I'm not really in the mood of taking them out now. First, let me go on a lunch break. I'll take them out in an hour. We have a tradition that had the Ribbono Shel Olam not taking us out of Mitzrayim at that moment. We were on the brink of falling to the point of no return, the 50th level of Tumah. Had Hashem not taken us out at that moment, then we would have fallen and it would have been irreparable. He never would have been able to take us out. We would have been stuck in Mitzrayim forever. Says the Ksav Sofer, remember when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim? Do you remember that from there we learn that when you delay doing something, you never know. If you delay a moment, you may lose the opportunity forever. And if you say, well, what's the difference between now and later? Just remember how Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Had He taken us out a millisecond later, we would have fallen to the point of no return and there would have been no going back. So from there we learn the importance of timing, that when you have the opportunity to do something, you better capitalize. Don't delay doing the mitzvah, because you never know. If you delay doing the mitzvah, something will come up, you'll forget about it, or you may not even be around. And that's why Rav Miller would teach, the Maaseh Yesharim tells us, the greatest danger in the world is when you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah. When you have such an opportunity, you want to grab it and do it as soon as you can, because there is no greater danger in the whole world. The purpose of our existence, Asher bara Elokim la'asais. There were great men like Amram, like Yishai, like Kilav. Like Binyamin, but even greater than them were Yaakov, David, and Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is an important limud as we prepare for the Yom Tov of Pesach. Do we need to have shmura matzah? You need to have it for the mitzvah aseh of achilas matzah. Well, aren't we guarding from chametz? And we're now to eat chametz the rest of Pesach. Yeah, you're now to eat chametz the rest of Pesach. But if you did, you tried your best, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe we'll consider you an oines. But if you didn't have shmura matzah for the mitzvah of matzah, and it was chametz, maybe you won't be punished for eating chametz, but you also won't accomplish the great achievement of achilas matzah. So this is a important presentation to keep in mind as we prepare for the Yom Tov of Pesach. Ushmartem es hamatzah. I want to invite everyone at Bez Hashem Wednesday night at 8:30. We have an amazing shiur on the upcoming solar eclipse, and I wish everybody a wonderful day. Kol tov,
Thank
hatzlacha.
you, Shpoya. Good
Hey,
shiur. Great.
Baruch tia.
Thank you.